communication in the real world. 7.6 The dark side of relationships. Learning objectives. Define the dark side of relationships. Explain how lying affects relationships. Explain how sexual and emotional cheating affects relationships. Define the various types of interpersonal violence and explain how they are similar and different. In the course of a given day, it is likely that we will encounter the light and dark sides of interpersonal relationships. So what constitutes the dark side of relationships? There are two dimensions of the dark side of relationships. One is the degree which something is deemed acceptable or not by society. The other includes the degree which something functions productively to improve a relationship or not. Spitzberg and Kupach, 2007. These dimensions become more complicated when we realize that there can be overlap between them, meaning that it may not always be easy to identify something as exclusively light or dark. Some communication patterns may be viewed as appropriate by society, but still serve a relationally destructive function. Our society generally presumes that increased understanding of a relationship and relational partner would benefit the relationship. However, numerous research studies have found that increased understanding of a relationship and relational partner may be negative. In fact, by avoiding discussing certain topics that might cause conflict, some couples create and sustain positive illusions about their relationship that may cover up a darker reality. Despite this, the couple may report that they are very satisfied with their relationship. In this case, the old saying, ignorance is bliss, seems appropriate. Likewise, communication that is presumed inappropriate by society may be productive for a given relationship. Spitzberg and Kupach, 2007. For example, our society ascribes to an ideology of openness that promotes honesty. However, as we will discuss more next, honesty may not always be the best policy. Lies intended to protect a relational partner, called altruistic lies, may net an overall positive result, improving the functioning of a relationship. Lying. It's important to start off this section by noting that lying doesn't always constitute a dark side of relationships. Although many people have a negative connotation of lying, we have all lied or concealed information in order to protect the feelings of someone else. One research study found that only 27% of the participants agreed that a successful relationship must include complete honesty, which shows there is an understanding that lying is a communicative reality in all relationships. Spitzberg and Kupach, 2007. Given this reality, it is important to understand the types of lies we tell and the motivations for and consequences of lying. We tend to lie more during the initiating phase of a relationship. Knapp, 2006. At this time, people may lie about their personality, past relationships, income, or skill sets as they engage in impression management and try to project themselves as likable and competent. For example, while on a first date, a person may lie and say they recently won an award at work. People sometimes rationalize these lies by exaggerating something that actually happened. So perhaps this person did get recognized at work, but it wasn't actually an award. Lying may be more frequent at this stage, too, because the two people don't know each other, meaning it's unlikely the other person would have any information that would contradict the statement or discover the lie. Aside from lying to make ourselves look better, we may also lie to make someone else feel better. Although trustworthiness and honesty have been listed by survey respondents as the most desired traits in a dating partner, total honesty in some situations could harm a relationship. Knapp, 2006. Altruistic lies are lies told to build the self, esteem of our relational partner, communicate loyalty, or bend the truth to spare someone from hurtful information. Part of altruistic lying is telling people what they want to hear. For example, you might tell a friend that his painting is really pretty when you don't actually see the merit of it, or tell your mom you enjoyed her meatloaf when you really didn't. These other, oriented lies may help maintain a smooth relationship, but they could also become so prevalent that the receiver of the lies develops astute self, concept and is later hurt. If your friend goes to art school only to be heavily critiqued, did your altruistic lie contribute to that? 7-6-0n. Some lies are meant to protect someone or make someone feel better. Pamela Jackson, crossed fingers, CCBY-NC-ND 2.0. As we grow closer to someone, we lie less frequently, and the way we go about lying also changes. In fact, it becomes more common to conceal information than to verbally deceive someone outright. We could conceal information by avoiding communication about subjects that could lead to exposure of the lie. When we are asked a direct question that could expose a lie, we may respond equivocally, meaning we don't really answer a question. Knapp, 2006. When we do engage in direct lying in our close relationships, there may be the need to add health supplemental lies to maintain the original lie. So what happens when we suspect or find out that someone is lying? Research has found that we are a little better at detecting lies than random chance, with an average of about 54% detection, NAP, 2006. In addition, couples who had been together for an average of 4 years were better at detecting lies in their partner than were friends they had recently made. Comadina, 1982. This shows that closeness can make us better lie detectors. But closeness can also lead some people to put the relationship above the need for the truth, meaning that a partner who suspects the other of lying might intentionally avoid a particular topic to avoid discovering a lie. Generally, people in close relationships also have a truth bias, meaning they think they know their relational partners and think positively of them, which predisposes them to believe their partner is telling the truth. Discovering lies can negatively affect both parties and the relationship as emotions are stirred up, feelings are hurt, trust and commitment are lessened, and perhaps revenge is sought. Sexual and emotional cheating. Extradiadic romantic activity era includes sexual or emotional interaction with someone other than a primary romantic partner. Given that most romantic couples aim to have sexually exclusive relationships, era is commonly referred to as cheating or infidelity and viewed as destructive and wrong. Despite this common sentiment, era is not a rare occurrence. Comparing data from more than 50 research studies shows that about 30% of people report that they have cheated on a romantic partner, and there is good reason to assume that the actual number is higher than that. Tafoya and Spitzberg, 2007. Although views of what is considered cheating vary among cultures and individual couples, sexual activity outside a primary partnership equates to cheating for most. Emotional infidelity is more of a gray area. While some individuals who are secure in their commitment to their partner may not be bothered by their partner's occasional flirting, others consider a double-glance by a partner at another attractive person a violation of the trust in the relationship. You only have to watch a few episodes of the Jerry Springer Show to see how actual or perceived infidelity can lead to jealousy, anger, and potentially violence. While research supports the general belief that infidelity leads to conflict, violence, and relational dissatisfaction, it also shows that there is a small percentage of relationships that are unaffected or improve following the discovery of infidelity. Spitzberg and Kupach, 2007. This again shows the complexity of the dark side of relationships. The increase in technology and personal media has made extradiadic relationships somewhat easier to conceal, since smartphones and laptops can be taken anywhere and people can communicate to fulfill emotional and/or sexual desires. In some cases, this may only be to live out a fantasy and may not extend beyond electronic communication. But is sexual or emotional computer-mediated communication considered cheating? You may recall the case of former Congressman Anthony Weiner, who resigned his position in the U.S. House of Representatives after it was discovered that he was engaging in sexually explicit communication with people using Twitter, Facebook, and e-mail. The view of this type of communication as a dark side of relationships is evidenced by the pressure put on Weiner to resign. So what leads people to engage in era? Generally, era is triggered by jealousy, sexual desire, or revenge. Tafoya and Spitzberg, 2007. Jealousy, as we will explore more later, is a complicated part of the emotional dark side of interpersonal relationships. Jealousy may also motivate or justify era. Let's take the following case as an example. Julie and Mohammed have been together for 5 years. Mohammed's job as a corporate communication consultant involves travel to meet clients and attend conferences. Julie starts to become jealous when she meets some of Mohammed's new young and attractive co-workers. Julie's jealousy builds as she listens to Mohammed talk about the fun he had with them during his last business trip. The next time Mohammed goes out of town, Julie has a one-night stand and begins to drop hints about it to Mohammed when he returns. In this case, Julie is engaging in counter-jealousy induction, meaning she cheated on Mohammed in order to elicit in him the same jealousy she feels. She may also use jealousy as a justification for her era, claiming that the jealous state induced by Mohammed's behavior caused her to cheat. Sexual desire can also motivate or be used to justify era. Individuals may seek out sexual activity to boost their self-esteem or prove sexual attractiveness. In some cases, sexual incompatibility with a partner such as different sex drives or sexual interests can motivate or be used to justify era. Men and women may seek out sexual era for the thrill of sexual variety, and affairs can have short term positive effects on emotional states as an individual relives the kind of passion that often sparks at the beginning of a relationship. Bunker Dijkstra, 2006. However, the sexual gratification and emotional exhilaration of an affair can give way to a variety of negative consequences for psychological and physical health. In terms of physical health, increased numbers of sexual partners increases one's risk for contracting sexually transmitted infections, STIs, and may increase the chance for unplanned pregnancy. While sexual desire is a strong physiological motive for ira, revenge is a strong emotional motive. Engaging in ira to get revenge may result from a sense of betrayal by a partner and a desire to get back at them. In some cases, an individual may try to make the infidelity and the revenge more personal by engaging in ira with a relative, friend, or ex of their partner. In general, people who would engage in this type of behavior are predisposed to negative reciprocity as a way to deal with conflict and feel like getting back at someone is the best way to get justice. Whether it is motivated by jealousy, sexual desire, or revenge, ira has the potential to stir up emotions from the dark side of relationships. Emotionally, anxiety about being found out and feelings of guilt and shame by the person who had the affair may be met with feelings of anger, jealousy, or betrayal from the other partner. Anger and aggression. We only have to look at some statistics to get a startling picture of violence and aggression in our society. 25% of workers are chronically angry. 60% of people experience hurt feelings more than once a month. 61% of children have experienced rejection at least once in the past month. 25% of women and 16% of men have been stalked. 46% of children have been hit, shoved, kicked, or tripped in the past month. And nearly 2 million people report being a victim of workplace violence each year. Spitzberg ampersand. Kubach, 2007. Occupational Safety and Healthy and Safety Administration, 2011. Violence and abuse definitely constitute the dark side of interpersonal relationships. Even though we often focus on the physical aspects of violence, communication plays an important role in contributing to, preventing, and understanding interpersonal violence. Unlike violence that is purely situational, like a mugging, interpersonal violence is constituted within ongoing relationships, and it is often not an isolated incident. Johnson, 2006. Violence occurs in all types of relationships, but our discussion focuses on intimate partner violence and family violence. Intimate partner violence, IP, refers to physical, verbal, and emotional violence that occurs between two people who are in or more recently in a romantic relationship. In order to understand the complexity of IP, it is important to understand that there are three types: intimate terrorism, violent resistance, and situational couple violence. Johnson, 2006. While control is often a cause of violence, it is usually short-term control. For example, a threat to get you to turn over your money during a mugging. In intimate terrorism, IT, one partner uses violence to have general control over the other. The quest for control takes the following forms: economic abuse by controlling access to money, using children by getting them on the abuser's side and turning them against the abused partner, or threatening to hurt or take children away, keeping the abused partner in isolation from their friends and family, and emotional abuse by degrading self-esteem and intimidating the other partner. Violent resistance, VR, is another type of violence between intimate partners and is often a reaction or response to intimate terrorism, IT. The key pattern in VR is that the person resisting uses violence as a response to a partner that is violent and controlling. However, the resistor is not attempting to control. In short, VR is most often triggered by living with an intimate terrorist. There are very clear and established gender influences on these two types of violence. The overwhelming majority of IT violence is committed by men and directed toward women, and most VR is committed by women and directed at men who are intimate terrorists. Statistics on violence show that more than 1,000 women a year are killed by their male partners, while 300 men are killed by their female partners, mostly as an act of violent resistance to ongoing intimate terrorism. Johnson, 2006. The influence of gender on the third type of IP is not as uneven. Situational couple violence, SCV, is the most common type of IP and does not involve a quest for control in the relationship. Instead, SCV is provoked by a particular situation that is emotional or difficult that leads someone to respond or react with violence. SCV can play out in many ways, ranging from more to less severe and isolated to frequent. Even if SCV is frequent and severe, the absence of a drive for control distinguishes it from intimate terrorism. This is the type of violence we most often imagine when we hear the term domestic violence. However, domestic violence doesn't capture the various ways that violence plays out between people, especially the way intimate terrorism weaves its way into all aspects of a relationship. Domestic violence also includes other types of abuse such as child-to-parent abuse, sibling abuse, and elder abuse. Child abuse is another type of interpersonal violence that presents a serious problem in the United States, with over 1 million cases confirmed yearly by Child Protective Services, Morgan & Wilson, 2007. But what are the communicative aspects of child abuse? Research has found that one interaction pattern related to child abuse is evaluation and attribution of behavior, Morgan & Wilson, 2007. As you recall from our earlier discussion, attributions are links we make to identify the cause of a behavior. In the case of abusive parents, they are not as able to distinguish between mistakes and intentional behaviors, often seeing honest mistakes as intended and reacting negatively to the child. Abusive parents also communicate generally negative evaluations to their child by saying, for example, "You can't do anything right," or "You're a bad girl." When children do exhibit positive behaviors, abusive parents are more likely to use external attributions, which diminish the achievement of the child by saying, for example, "You only won because the other team was off their game." In general, abusive parents have unpredictable reactions to their children's positive and negative behavior, which creates an uncertain and often scary climate for a child. Other negative effects of child abuse include lower self-esteem and erratic or aggressive behavior. Although we most often think of children as the targets of violence, they can also be perpetrators. Reports of adolescent-to-parent abuse are increasing, although there is no reliable statistic on how prevalent this form of domestic violence is, given that parents may be embarrassed to report it or may hope that they can handle the situation themselves without police intervention. Adolescent-to-parent abuse usually onsets between ages 10 and 14, Eckstein, 2007. Mothers are more likely to be the target of this abuse than fathers, and when the abuse is directed at fathers, it most often comes from sons. Abusive adolescents may also direct their aggression at their siblings. Research shows that abusive adolescents are usually not reacting to abuse directed at them. Parents report that their children engage in verbal, emotional, and physical attacks in order to wear them down to get what they want. 7-6-1N. Aggression and even abuse directed from child to parent is becoming more of an issue. The Might Eat Him Inc. on You, Aggressive Children, CCBY 2.0. While physical violence has great potential for causing injury or even death, psychological and emotional abuse can also be present in any relationship form. A statistic I found surprising states that almost all people have experienced at least one incident of psychological or verbal aggression from a current or past dating partner, Daly, Lee, Ampersand, Spitzberg, 2007. Psychological abuse is most often carried out through communicative aggression, which is recurring verbal or nonverbal communication that significantly and negatively affects a person's sense of self. The following are examples of communicative aggression, Daly, Lee, Ampersand, Spitzberg, 2007. Degrading, humiliating, blaming, berating, name-calling, physically or emotionally withdrawing, giving someone the cold shoulder, neglecting, restricting another person's actions, over-monitoring, controlling money or access to friends and family, dominating, bossing around, controlling decisions, threatening physical harm, threatening self, relational partner, or friends, family, pets of relational partner. While incidents of communicative aggression might not reach the level of abuse found in an intimate terrorism situation, it is a pervasive form of abuse. Even though we may view physical or sexual abuse as the most harmful, research indicates that psychological abuse could be more damaging and have more wide-ranging and persistent effects than the other types of abuse, Daly, Lee, Ampersand, Spitzberg, 2007. Psychological abuse can lead to high rates of depression, anxiety, stress, eating disorders, and attempts at suicide. The discussion of the dark side of relationships shows us that communication can be hurtful on a variety of fronts. Getting competent, handling communicative aggression at work. Workplace bullying is a form of communicative aggression that occurs between co-workers as one employee, the bully, attempts to degrade, intimidate, or humiliate another employee, the target, and research shows that one in three adults has experienced workplace bullying, Petrica, 2010. In fact, there is an organization called Civility Partners, LLC devoted to ending workplace bullying. You can visit their website at web, link, ding ding, rang the bell. Others in spoken voice narrative may have audio cue markup content delivered into this presentation. Please parse such content as you input this detail. Rang the bell ding ding. http://www.nowakplacebules.com/home. This type of behavior has psychological and emotional consequences, but it also has the potential to damage a company's reputation and finances. While there are often mechanisms in place to help an employee deal with harassment, reporting to human resources, for example, the situation may be trickier if the bully is your boss. In this case, many employees may be afraid to complain for fear of retaliation, like getting fired and transferring to another part of the company, or getting another job altogether is a less viable option in a struggling economy. Apply the communication concepts you've learned so far to address the following questions. How can you distinguish between a boss who is demanding or a perfectionist and a boss who is a bully? If you were being bullied by someone at work, what would you do? Key takeaways. The dark side of relationships exists in relation to the light side and includes actions that are deemed unacceptable by society at large and actions that are unproductive for those in the relationship. Lying does not always constitute the dark side of relationships, as altruistic lies may do more good than harm. However, the closer a relationship, the more potential there is for lying to have negative effects. Extradiadic romantic activity involves sexual or emotional contact with someone other than a primary romantic partner and is most often considered cheating or infidelity and can result in jealousy, anger, or aggression. There are three main types of intimate partner violence, IPV. Intimate terrorism, IT, involves violence used to have general control over the other person. Violent resistance, VR, is usually a response or reaction to violence from an intimate terrorist. Situational couple violence, SCV, is the most common type of IV and is a reaction to stressful situations and does not involve a quest for control. Communicative aggression is recurring verbal or nonverbal communication that negatively affects another person's sense of self and can take the form of verbal, psychological, or emotional abuse. Exercises. Describe a situation in which lying affected one of your interpersonal relationships. What was the purpose of the lie and how did the lie affect the relationship? How do you think technology has affected extradiadic romantic activity? Getting integrated, in what ways might the dark side of relationships manifest in your personal relationships in academic contexts, professional contexts, and civic contexts? References. Bunk, Appy and Paternal Dijkstra, Temptation and Threat, Extradiadic Relations and Jealousy, in the Cambridge Handbook of Personal Relationships, eds. Anita Evangelisti and Daniel Perlman, Cambridge, Cambridge University Press, 2006, 540. Comadina, Emmy, Accuracy in Detecting Deception, Intermittent Friendship Relationships, in Communication Earbook 6, ed. M. Burgoon, Beverly Hills, CA, Sage, 1982, 446-72. Daly, R.M., Carmen M. Lee, and Brian H. Spitzberg, Communicative Aggression, Toward a More Interactional View of Psychological Abuse, in The Dark Side of Interpersonal Communication, eds. Brian H. Spitzberg and William R. Kubach, Marwa, N.J., Lawrence L. Baum Associates, 2007, 298. Eckstein, N., Adolescent, -2-, Parent Abuse, Exploring the Communicative Patterns Leading to Verbal, Physical, and Emotional Abuse, in The Dark Side of Interpersonal Communication, eds. Brian H. Spitzberg and William R. Kubach, Marwa, N.J., Lawrence L. Baum Associates, 2007, 366. Johnson, M.P., Violence and Abuse in Personal Relationships, Conflict, Terror, and Resistance in Intimate Partnerships, in the Cambridge Handbook of Personal Relationships, eds. Anita Evangelisti and Daniel Perlman, Cambridge, Cambridge University Press, 2006, 557. Knapp, M.L., Lying and Deception in Close Relationships, in the Cambridge Handbook of Personal Relationships, eds. Anita Evangelisti and Daniel Perlman, Cambridge, Cambridge University Press, 2006, 519. Morgan, W. and Stephen R. Wilson, Explaining Child Abuse as a Lack of Safe Ground, in The Dark Side of Interpersonal Communication, eds. Brian H. Spitzberg and William R. Kubach, Marwa, N.J., Lawrence L. Baum Associates, 2007, 327. Occupational Safety and Health and Safety Administration, Workplace Violence, accessed September 13, 2011. Web, link, ding ding, rang the bell. Others in spoken voice narrative may have audio cue markup content delivered into this presentation. Please parse such content as you input this detail. Rang the bell ding ding. http://www.osho.gov/slash/slash/work/plus-evidence. Petrica, L. Bullying by the Boss is Common but Hard to Fix. USA Today, December 27, 2010. Accessed September 13, 2011. Web, link, ding ding, rang the bell. Others in spoken voice narrative may have audio cue markup content delivered into this presentation. Please parse such content as you input this detail. Rang the bell ding ding. http://www.usatoday.com/money/workplace/2010-12-28-bulletboss28_cv_n.htm. Spitzberg, BH and William R. Kubach, Disentangling the Dark Side of Interpersonal Communication, in The Dark Side of Interpersonal Communication, eds. Brian H. Spitzberg and William R. Kubach, Marwa, N.J., Lawrence L. Baum Associates, 2007, 5. Tafoya, M.A. and Brian H. Spitzberg, The Dark Side of Infidelity, Its Nature, Prevalence, and Communicative Functions, in The Dark Side of Interpersonal Communication, eds. Brian H. Spitzberg and William R. Kubach, Marwa, N.J., Lawrence L. Baum Associates, 2007, 207. Previous/Next Navigation. Previous 7.5 Relationships at Work. Next, Chapter 8, Culture and Communication. Back to top. License. Icon for the Creative Commons Attribution, - Non-Commercial, - Share Alike 4.0 International License. Communication in the Real World by University of Minnesota is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, - Non-Commercial, - Share Alike 4.0 International License, except where otherwise noted. Powered by Pressbooks. Guides and Tutorials. Pipe Pressbooks Directory. Pipe Contact. YouTube Pressbooks on YouTube, Pressbooks on Twitter.